Okay, I had a strong taiva to learn this sefer for some time. Shalom Aleichem. I had a chavrus in it a number of years ago, and it was incredibly eye-opening. Because if you wanna learn chassidus, let me say it straight. Especially if you wanna learn chassidus around Wayo, so it's not necessarily as mainstream as everything that's happening in our building, which Baruch Hashem, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But there was a tzaddik who lived a very short life, 45 years. I'm 41 years old, just to give you a little context. He wrote this book, the Shomer Amunim. We refer to it as the Shomer Amunim HaKadmon, because there's many svarim that were called Shomer Amunim in more recent times also. So the original, the Shomer Amunim HaKadmon, the early Shomer Amunim. It was written by an Italian Rav, who was not just a Makobol, he was a big genius in Gemara and Halacha. Rav Yosef Irgas was his name. He lived from 1685 to 1730. The last 5 years of his life was dedicated to working on this project. And one of the reasons he was working so diligently on this project, is because he felt there was a lot of confusion about Kabbalah, about Pnimiyas HaTorah, and he wanted to set the record straight, and he wanted to do it in a very clear and concise way. And it's an incredible one-of-a-kind work that asks all the big questions that anyone who's not sure if Chassidus is real, Kabbalah is real. Again, we're not here to learn Kabbalah. I don't even like referring to it as an intro to Kabbalah, even though it is. But we're not really roy to be learning Kabbalah. What's the difference between Chassidus and Kabbalah? Let's just start with that. Just by derech, you know, by way of Hagdama, b'derech Hagdama. Yeah, what would you say? How would you define it?
I read in Flames of Faith that Kabbalah is to bring man into heaven, Chassidus is to bring heaven into man.
So I think Rav Aryeh Kaplan was the one who was magdir in that way. Right? It's a very important distinction. Am I trying to go to the Himmel? Am I trying to fly in the sky? Kabbalah brings a person to the heavens. Chassidus brings the heavens, brings Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem, which can be a very abstract concept, brings it into man, brings it down to this world. And welcome back. A photocopy is over here for those who'd like. And of course, if a person learns Chassidus, you'll see that it's filled with, again, depending on what svar we learn, but Chassidus is filled either openly or maybe sometimes in a more concealed fashion, is filled with the words of Kabbalah. It's built on the principles of the Kabbalah. But like the B'nai Yisachar explained, the tzaddikim came and they took these lofty, lofty ideas, which are way out of our league, and they packaged them in a way of Avodas Hashem. Not about poking our head into the... That was one of the critiques of some of the Balei Musar about, you know, about the study of Chassidus. Why do I need to poke my head around in the Shemayim? But we're not poking our head around in the Shemayim. We're trying to bring Shemayim down to arts. We're trying to make Hashem more tangible in our life. Okay, so this holy tzaddik from Italy, again in the early 1700s, decided to set the record straight, and he wrote it as a debate between a rationalist and a mystic, a person who is more kabbalistically, mystically inclined. Okay, he has an introduction, which we're going to skip over for now. Maybe that's a good idea, maybe that's a bad idea, but I want to just jump right into what he calls the Vikuach Rishon, the first debate. It's a series of debates. It's two debates, primarily two debates, okay, between these two characters, who he will name for us. And let's just jump right in. The best way to get to know a tzaddik is through learning his Torah. So we'll get to meet Rav Yosef Irgas, Zechus Yigen Aleinu, by studying the Torah. And you see, he talks in psukim, just like you see the brilliance, even in the opening line. Vayihi bimei shvot ha-shoftim. I recognize that pasuk. First pasuk in Rus. Vayihi bimei shvot ha-shoftim. It was in the time when judges judged. Vayihi ra'av ba'aretz. And there was a famine in the land, which of course the beginning of Megillas Rus describes a famine. And he weaves that in to a pasuk in Amos, the famous pasuk in Amos. Maybe you know it from Yishai Ribo. Right? Lo ra'av lelechem v'lo tzama l'mayim. Not a hunger for bread and not a thirst for water. Kiyam lishmoa es divrei Hashem. The Navi Amos describes a time when there's going to be this incredible starvation for the Dvar Hashem. which Sadiqim explained. The Ramchal had a student, Rav Moshe David Vali. He explained that people are going to be starving for the Devar Hashem means that they want to be able to hear Hashem. They want to open a Gemara and feel like Hashem is talking to them. I know that Ravina and Ravashi are talking to me. I know that it's Machlokas Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva, and Gittin Daf Tzadi. Some of the Chevra here was learning that this week. I know, but I want to be able to hear the Dvar Hashem through that, and I'm starving for that. I'm frustrated and I'm starving because if it doesn't have to do with Hashem, so what's the tachos of it all? Again, if I want to study, tort law, so I can go to law school and I can study a lot of different, dense textbooks. But I want the Gemara to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon manifesting itself through the words of the Tanayim and the Amorah. So he says, a time is going to come, and again, it's a time, he's writing this in the 1700s, but it's true even more so as we get closer to Mashiach, when people have an attitude. If I don't have God in all of this, then I don't want this. I don't want to do it superficially. And the time will come where there'll be a fierce debate about, well, what does it mean to do it in a deep way? What does it mean to do it in a real way? The Jewish people will be divided into two groups. Zoso Meres, one group will say, Ki Torah Kula Tuvan Kepshuta Levad, that the Torah is meant to be understood. Pasha Pshat, the highest madrig is Pshat. People who only Pshat, everything's Pshat. You try to say something that's not Pshat, and of course, what's the response? It's not Pshat. To which I always respond, right, it's not Pshat, but there's Pshat, and there's Remez, and there's Drush, and there's Sod, there's a Pardes, there's an orchard. By the way, we often call Chasidus, Kabbalah, the deeper dimensions of Torah, we call that entering into the Pardes. You ever think about that first? Think about that for a second. If Pardes is really an acronym for Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, so why do we call the secrets of the Torah the Pardes? So Tzadikim explained, because you really only understand Pshat once you get to Sod. You don't really understand anything until you get to the depths of it. Until you get to the core of it, you don't really understand. Until it reveals its essence, you don't really understand what it's all about at all. Not even the Pshat. And the Pshat, by the way, the Vilna Gaon said, the Pshat is endlessly deep. People think Pshat means like I have to, like when Rashi says, like this is Pshuto Shel Mikra, or Ibn Ezra says, this is the Pshat. As if like Pshat is some like very narrow, limited interpretation of something. Pshat, the Vilna Gaon said, Pshat is, he applied the pasuk, Rechava Minayam. Pshat is bigger than the ocean. Pshat is infinitely deep. So can you imagine what Remez and Drush and Sod, right? It's endless. But you may encounter people who think that Pshat is the be-all and end-all of Torah. That's one group. They deny, they're machish, they deny, they reject the notion that there's anything deeper. There's nothing other than the revealed aspects of Torah, with whatever principles we have a tradition of being able to expound the Torah in a very, very narrow and limited fashion. And this is our entire obligation. However long your life is, to just try to get the pshat. Lidrosh v'lachor Havayos Abaya Varava, even though it seems like I'm talking more about like in Tanakh, but the same thing is true in Gemara, right? To expound and to delve deeply into the debates of Abaya and Rava, to learn the Gemara Pashapshat, Vahadinam Shabitalmud Vapoiskim, to know how to live like a Jew. What does the Gemara say? Shakla Vitaro? What's the halacha? How do you do it? Put on the right shoe, put on the left shoe, tie the left, tie the right, whatever the basic simple framework of what it means to be a Jew. Kidei lishmor v'lasos v'lakayim kol mitosah. That's it. That's the goal. Stop with all this fluffy stuff. This magical stuff. That's one group. That's all that's asked of us our whole life. But there's a second group, v'zoso meres, but this one claims, the other group claims, ki milvad hanigla b'pshat haTorah, in addition to the revealed superficial aspects of Torah, Od yeshba pnimius nistar besochius mitzvah, that every mitzvah is filled inside of it with an unbelievable nistar, with a hidden dimension. Uberprate sipurah, and every detail of the story is significant. If not for pnimius haTorah, how do you understand the many, many lists in the Torah of the names of Esau's descendants, of Yishmael's descendants, How do you explain, why do I need to know every stop that the Jews made when they were traveling in the Midbar? What does that teach me? What's the pshat? What's the goal? Is it just a historical record? That every detail of the story, why do I need to know about Yaakov Avinu being so busy with tending to the sheep, the akudim, you know, berudim, what do I have to, the speckled sheep and the spotted sheep, and he's taking the branches and he's putting it in the feeding trough, and the sheep are drinking it, and different types of speckled and spotted and brown sheep, and, you know, in the writings of the Arizal, all that funny stuff with the sheep is like the deepest mysteries of creation. Arizal spends forever talking about, you know, the sheep, Lavan's sheep. But in Pshat, why do I need that? Okay, see which team I'm on. I'm guessing I'm giving, in case you aren't sure. Shetachlis ha'yidia, right? So, but the prate sibra, the prate, every detail of every story, there's no letter in the Torah that's not revealing worlds and worlds and worlds and worlds. Every detail, every nekuda, every detail. This is the second group. Shetachlis ha'yidia hi ledas osam asodos. And by the way, we're supposed to try to know these secrets. Some people will say, I'm not saying that I don't believe in deeper dimensions, but that's not for us. Ein lanu esek b'nistarim, that's not our Indian. We're not supposed to be busy with Nistar. Right? They wave it off as if, like, not worthy, I'm not, it's not part of my avoda. But the second group says, yes, it is. It's part of your job to know it. If you stop at pshat, then you're missing a big piece. Sha'aleim amar David HaMelech, after all, this is what David HaMelech was referring to when he said, Gal Einai, David HaMelech Davin, Hashem, open my eyes. Gal Einai va'abita niflaos mitorasecha. Let me see the Pella, let me see the wonder of Torah. Let me see the Pella. Pella is the same letters as the word Aleph. Right? Pei Lamed Aleph, the same as Aleph Lamed Pei. The Torah starts with the letter Beis of Bereshis. Right? But we want to try to dig deeper beyond the Beis of Bereshis. We want to get to the Pella, the Aleph of Torah, the oneness of Torah, the Elokus of Torah, the God that's hiding behind all the stories. Vayihi kechela adam l'rov. And it was, as time went on, and the different groups, you know, grew each in their own way. And there was tremendous confusion and bilbul from different groups. There was no clarity. In other words, Rav Yosef Ergas, as a 40-year-old man, sets out in 1725, and he says, you know what, I'm gonna try to talk out this conversation that the so-called chassid and the misnagid are not having with each other. Because each one is so entrenched in his shita that they won't even have an honest debate. So I'm going to present the debate. That's what the sefer is. Ki kula mis'amtzim eila nochach eila. Because each one, you know, strengthens himself opposite the other one. And they're struggling with each other. V'chol echad machriz v'omer she'emes ito. And each one just is screaming, the truth is by me, I'm right. And you're wrong. Hinei ze haderech l'chubo. This is the right path. This is the true path. Follow my path. Ki ta'aminu, ki tasmi'ilu, to the right, to the left. But this is the path. Mikol devarai arce lo tapilu. From all of my words, nothing should fall to the ground, my way or the highway. Everything I say is correct. Okay, so someone's got a ref. Someone, you know, Rav Yosef Ergas says, I'm gonna play referee, and we're gonna have this conversation. We're gonna go there. We're gonna ask hard questions, and we're gonna hopefully come up with some good answers. Next paragraph. So now he creates the characters of our sipur, of our fictional debate, but it's a very real debate. After years and after the passage of time of this long machlokas between great sages, and they are great sages, we're not, God forbid, mocking. We're going to have to deal with some very heavy hitters, some of the gedolei hadoros. Kom hanasi Zechariahu ben Yevrachiahu. There was a Navi named Zechariah. Why he chose this name is a little bit unclear. And he said basically to the world, he said, okay, let's have a debate. Stop with all the fighting. Take my advice, and it'll give you life, it'll give you peace of mind. Let's take one man from each team, from each group, and let each one present his case. Let's do it. And from this vikuach, from this debate, we'll clarify the truth. Right? Who's on the right side, so to speak? And who's uprooting saplings, which is a term the Gemara used for a person who has corrupted ways of viewing reality. Right? Who's chopping trees? And who's planting godliness in the world? Alright, so let's go there. V'im li ulakoli tishmo, bottom line, and if you're willing to listen to my voice, ya'amod sha'altiel, in this corner, you know. Ya'amod sha'altiel. Sha'altiel means what? The one who's inquiring of God. Sha'altiel is the rationalist. Sha'altiel is the Talmudist. Sha'altiel is the halachist. Sha'altiel is the academic who wants to study, you know, Bible, as opposed to Torah. Right. And again, we're talking about a very erlich, you know, a very erlich individual, obviously. We're not talking about a person who's totally, but a person who thinks that that's not our job to explore anything more than the pshat. So let's call upon Sha'altiel, who represent the Talmudim, who represent the Talmudist camp. Ki hu ish nevon lachash. Now, I don't know why he quoted that pasuk. That's part of a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya. That he is a man who's nevon lachash, who comprehends mysteries. It's a strange way to refer to the rationalist, right? I would think you'd call them the mystic, the one who's Navon Lachash. But okay. But let's call upon this person. He's a person who learns Be'ion. Maybe that's what Navon Lachash means. He studies deeply. Umalei Ruach Chachmo Ma'adah. He's a deep thinker. Umitzad Mekubalim. And in the other camp, we'll call upon Yehoyada. Right? Yehoyada. Hachacham Kikalkel Vidarda. Who's as wise as Kalkel and Darda? Kalkel and Darda are two names of individuals who, when the pasuk in David describes after Shlomo HaMelech has given the wisdom by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says that Shlomo was smarter than Kalkel and Darda. They were apparently two geniuses from the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Okay, so we call upon Yehoyada to represent the Mekubalim, a very wise man. Ve'yanu kol ha'am asher b'shar v'yomur tov adavar asher dibar talasas. And Zechariah, who called upon this debate and appointed Sha'altiel and Yehoyada to talk it out, everyone said, okay, you know what, this is a great idea. Let's actually have this conversation. Because it's a very important conversation. Yeah, Sam?
Would you say he leans towards any of the sides?
So clearly, right, clearly, he's trying to defend the position of the Mekubalim.
So it's like interesting.
Because Sha'altiel is going to be the one asking the questions, right? He's the interrogator. He's asking the questions.
So it's interesting, he called the guy who's on the side of the Mekubalim, like Yehoyada.
The one who knows. Wink wink. Right. The one who knows the truth. Again, this is the truth he wants to present. And you'll see how he presents the arguments and you'll come to your own conclusions. And by the way, don't follow it blindly. Ask questions. If you think he tries to bring a raya and you think I could argue the other way, so argue it. Right? I mean, let's do it. Okay? So Sha'altiel begins. Yeah, Yitzchak.
Because by this point, the Baal Shem Tov haven't been born yet. So this is more about Kabbalah and not Chassidus.
Right. There's no question. Again, he's calling it Kabbalah. Chassidus Baal Shem Tov was barely starting at this point, right? Baal Shem Tov is, by the time Rav Yosef Irgas is passing away, the Baal Shem Tov is beginning to reveal himself to the world. Right? Baal Shem Tov is, you know, also in his 30s, let's say. Yeah, it's a question exactly when the Baal Shem Tov, you know, everyone likes to say he was 36, because 36, hidden tzaddikim. But Baal Shem Tov was presumably in his 30s when he started to become the Baal Shem Tov. Right? So Baal Shem Tov passed away in 1760. So the Baal Shem Tov, he passed away in 1730. So the Baal Shem Tov is just getting started. Right? But again, for a person who studies Chassidus, you'll see that this is the conversation. Call it a chassid and a misnagid, call it a rationalist and a kabbalist, whatever you want to call it, it's the same core debate. The same basic machlokes. Okay? Okay, so Sha'altiel begins with the following question. Vaya'an Sha'altiel vayomar. Lo yitachin la'asos vikuach zeh. Sha'altiel says, his opening question is, I don't think we can do this. I don't think we're going to have this conversation. Why not? I'm not convinced that this will be an honest conversation. Yan kol divrei hamekubalim yusadim al emunasam b'chachamim. Because what is the basis of the Kabbalist? His emuna in what he received from his Rebbe. It's a Kabbalah. What does the word Kabbalah mean? It's a tradition that's passed down. It's passed one person to the next person. It's not sort of proven textually. It's a Kabbalah. I'll tell you an amazing story. There was a Jew, a holy Jew, who was once invited into a gathering of big mekubalim. This was his initiation to see if he could join a certain group that would study together, a big tzaddikim. So he comes in for the first time. He walks into the room. It's a true story. Walks into the room and, you know, takes a seat. He was invited to this session. He takes a seat. And whoever was presenting, was teaching at that moment, paused. And he reaches into the shtender and he takes out an apple. And he's holding the apple by the stem. He's dangling the apple. So this, you know, this new guy in the shir is like waiting to see what's supposed to happen. And he's just sitting there, and everyone's just like sitting there. The Rebbe is just holding the apple. And everyone's like looking at him like, no, like, he's like, maybe I'm supposed to take the apple, I don't know. So he goes up to the front of the room, and he tries to take the apple from the Rebbe. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe everyone gets an apple. That's how your apple a day keeps the, you know, whatever. So he goes up to the front of the room, and he reaches out to take the apple. And as he's about to take it, the Rebbe pulls back the apple. So he's like, oh, what kind of crazy game is this, you know? So he puts down his hand, and the Rebbe puts the apple back. He's dangling this apple in front of him. So he tries a little faster to grab the apple, you know? Second time he tries to... Hey, Rebbe pulls it away. He's trying to figure out, what on earth, like, what am I supposed to, like... And finally he realizes, he goes like this. He puts his hands like this. He cups his hands. Cups his hands under the apple. And the Rebbe drops the apple into his hand and says, okay, go sit down. That's what Kabbalah means. Kabbalah means to be mekabel. You don't take, you receive. Humbly, you receive. But Shaltiel, the rationalist, says, but that's my whole problem with this whole thing, because you've got this whole secret tradition, the secret society that no one knows about, that apparently you received the tradition from a Rebbe who got it from his Rebbe. So how are we supposed to debate? Like, where's the empirical evidence, you know? Everything is just hearsay. Look at the words again. Lo yitachin la'asos v'kuach zeh. I don't know how we can have this debate. Yan kol divrei ha-mikubalim, because all of the principles, all of the ideas of the mikubalim, miyusadim alemu nasam, it's built on their faith, b'chachamim ha-heim, shekruim b'shem mikubalim. Everything you have is based on a secret, you know, limud. Ve'ein shum seichel v'svara v'lo das yeshara. There's no rationale, there's no logic. There's no way a debate requires that we have to be able to, you know, argue our points, but I can't argue anything with you because... You just say, well, this is the tradition. This is the Kabbalah. This is the tradition. So I don't know how... There's no das yeshara sheyuchol lachlok alei. There's no logic by which I can debate you. Ki lo yukablu es divarav v'lo yichnesu ba'azneyam. Because you're not really open to necessarily hearing anything I'm going to say. Ve'im kein eifo mato eles yesh litfakeach imahem. So what's the point of having such a machlokas? Why should we have a debate? You're just going to say, well, you know, but this is the Masorah, this is the tradition, this is what I heard from my Rebbe. So Yehoyada responds in Oz Gimel, Emesu, it's true, ki yesora kabbalah hi emunas hachachamim hakadmonim, it's true, there's no question about it, you have to put out your hands to receive the apple. Yes, there's a very significant Masorah of what's passed, Rebbe to Talmud, Kabbalah, asher nis'amsa etzleinu chachmasam v'chasidusam v'shtalshos kabbalasam. Yes, there's a long tradition, a holy tradition of wise and holy people passing down this chain, this Masorah. Aval lo mipnei zeh nimna atzmeinu. But not because of that should we deny ourselves milidrosh v'lachkor u'lahakshos al divrayim. Give yourself permission to inspect, to investigate, to question, to ask. Va'alikare hakdamoseihem. About their fundamental principles. In Kabbalah, in the writings of Arizal, everything's called the hakdama, which means an introduction. Because you're always a beginner. It's always an introduction. There's always more. It's the infinite reminder. Everything's called an introduction. Because no matter how deep you go, you're still just in the introduction. If you're really, you know, searching for the it, for Elokus, for Hashem himself, so you're always going to be just in the Hakdama. But says Yehoyada, you shouldn't think that Kabbalah is not subject to question, to query, to debate. Yeah, Rizal was a great Makubal. The Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, was a great Makubal. They disagreed about certain things. At least on the surface, it appears that way. The deeper you get into the Sugya, the same way when Rashi and Tosfos disagree, right? Until the Pnei Yeshua comes along and helps you to understand that really, it's not really a Machlokas. Right? The Achronim come and help you to align the Rishonim. The Rosh Hashiva shows you how even though these two Rambams seem to contradict each other, if you understand them really deeply, it's not even a contradiction at all. But we're not scared. We're not scared to ask questions. Va'adraba. Adraba, says Yehoyada. Darcheinu hu lapalpel b'leshonas ha'mekubalim. We debate, we study be'iyun. Right? It's not just like these are just the facts of Kabbalah. We learn the sugya of Kabbalah, kamosha anu mepalpel in b'halacha, the same way that you'll bring a machlokas between the Shach and the Taz. So we learn be'iyun a machlokas between the Arizal and the Ramak. We learn a machlokas be'shamay be'shilal. So we try to understand what was the different mahalach of. Where did the world of the Chos of Lublin and the Yira Kadosh part ways? What was that machlokas in Chasidus? All right, so it's not just that, you know, this is the Mesorah and that's it. Those are not the rules of the Mikubal. Okay, so Shaltiel says, okay, so if we're really going to have this conversation, then we can really have this conversation. Im Kenhu, if that's so, Os Dalid, Hinini Muchan Levikuach Zes, so I'm ready to discuss. We'll give Shaltiel some credit. He says, I'm really curious. I have some real questions. However, this just the way that Rav Yosef Irgas wrote it, that alone should be a limud for us. And how to have a conversation. You know, so you're more into Chassidus, or you're more Litvish, and your friends are more Chassidish. Learn to have a respectful conversation. Gemara says, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they intermarried. Even though they held shitas in halacha that were like radically opposite. But they allowed their children, they allowed their worlds to unite. Because Eilu ve'Eilu Devei Elokim Chaim, and if you really get to the omek of it, you'll see there's never a machlokas, because Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, it's always one. The Torah is one. So the most outlandish outlier opinion can somehow be woven into the sugya if understood even more deeply. Ravitcher Meyer Morgenstern, Shlita, is one of the Gedolei, you know, the Gedolim of our time, was able to weave together all the different shitas and show it, there's no machlokas at all. There's no machlokas at all. The deeper you go, there's no machlokas at all. So if so, says Shaltiel, so let's talk. Let's lachkor, let's inspect the yesodos. Kedei liros al ma hutvu'u adonaihem. What is it founded upon? What is it really built upon? Let's go there. And therefore, if you'll give me permission to ask my questions, va'ata, im tarsheni lomar lefanecha sveikosai, if you'll let me present my sveikos, my doubts, haschil lesader tanosai v'kushosai lefanecha. So I'll begin to ask. So he says back to him, good, let's ask, let's go there, let's jump into it. Okay? That's Yehoyada's response in Osei. Let's get to the question. Let's get to the first question. Okay? Ozevav, the bottom of the page. So he says, okay. Lo ate yaminu smol mikol masha amarta. He responded to him in the previous paragraph. He said, but you have to be honest also. If I say something good, you have to, even though, you know, it's not your way of thinking, you have to be modal amis. So he says, fine, okay. I'll be willing to admit if you say something true. So Shaltiel asks the following question. Now, it happens to be, I apologize, when I was photocopying it or when I was printing it off of Otar HaChachma, the last two lines on this particular page got cut off. Okay, so you need to listen very carefully because here's the question. Chaval, that the question itself got cut off. Here's the first thing he says I want to ask of you. Okay? Minayin lachem shiyesh sodos v'nistarim b'Torah. Who says that there's anything called secrets of Torah? Any chassid will tell you there's deeper dimensions, there's sodos of Torah, there's nister, there's secret dimensions. Who says? Where in the Chumash does it say that? Where in the Gemara does it say that? Where's the indication that any of that is true? He says, ki mefursam b'umaseinu, it's it's clear among our tradition, among our people, that the Torah im perusha ha'amiti kibla Moshe mi'sinai m'sar li'oshua v'yoshua l'zakeinim. Okay, now continuing on the top of the next page. So I know, I can open up Pirkei Avos and tell you that we have a Torah that was given at Har Sinai, and it was passed down Moshe to Yoshua through all the generations, v'chulu. Archach me'Yisrael, top of the next page. Archach me'Yisrael, hakadmonim shekasu zeha peira shamakubo v'tamid bavli yirushalmi sifra sifrei tosefta mechilta. I know what the Masorah looks like. I know we have a Moshe, I know we have a Yoshua, I know we have an Anshe Knesset Agadola, I know we have a Ravina, a Ravashi, a Rabbi Yochanan, a Reish Lakish, Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, Medrash Halacha, Sifra, Sifrei, Tosefta, Mechilta. All of that I know about. We can all agree that that's the corpus of Torah literature. That's the classics, right? So you Mekubalim, where did you get this whole Nistar business? You have like your own secret Torah. Why is that not like a violation of the Rambam's principle of, you know, there's no such thing as a new Torah? You have all these new ideas. Where do you get any of this stuff from? Umisha eino mamin lahem eino bechlal am hakodesh or am hakadosh. Anyone who doesn't believe in Gemara, who doesn't believe in Torah Misinai, doesn't believe in Talmud Yerushalmi, doesn't believe in Medrash Mechilta, so you're not a Jew. But who says I have to believe that there's all this hidden stuff? Amnam shiyeh b'Torah pnimius v'sodos. This inner dimension, this hidden dimension, Kamosha Mikubalim Omrim Hecha Ksiva Bigamara. Where does any of that appear in the Gemara? Show me that the famous rabbis believed in this stuff. Okay? It's a good question. No? I don't have an answer. Where does the Gemara talk about secrets of the Torah? Okay? Ah. So, second paragraph of Chagiga definitely talks about some secret stuff. All right, so let's see. So he says, I'll give you a couple of ma'amakomos, just to get the conversation started. Okay? And you'll see there's going to be a tremendous pushback on all the ma'amakomos that he brings. You'll see. So says Yehoyada, says our makubal, Kein amru b'seches psachim daf kuf yutes. The Gemara in Psachim asks, Mai v'limchase osik, the one who covers the Atik, the ancient. What does that mean? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. What does it mean? The one who covers the ancient. The one who covers the ancient. What is that referencing? This refers to one who covers the things that the ancient one covered. Who's the ancient one? Who's Atik Yomen? Hashem. Hashem's called Atik Yomen. Hashem's OG, you know, old school. And Hashem's the one who's been around the longest. Atik Yomen. Ancient days. It's a code word for Hashem. So one who covers the things that Hashem has covered. Well, that makes it sound like maybe we shouldn't be revealing these ideas. Right? The Gemara itself says, the Gemara refers to something hidden, something that the ancient one is hiding. But it says, the Navi Yeshaya says, the Mechasa Asik, the one who covers the ancient, we should try to be like Hashem and cover up the things that the ancient one is hiding. Umaynin, who says the Gemara, and what is that a reference to? Sisrei Torah, secrets of the Torah. So the Gemara clearly acknowledges there's something called Sisrei Torah. It may not be for everyone, and that may be part of a more modern debate we have to have. Right? Maybe I believe that Kabbalah is a real thing. Maybe I believe that it's a really important thing, but maybe it's not for everyone. Maybe that vision that the Baal Shem Tov had of She'afutu ma'inosecha chutza, spread the word, get it out there, make sure every man, woman, and child is learning chassidus, right? Or Big Tzaddik who said, every little kid should be reading Zohar, so maybe that's crazy. Maybe it's supposed to be a secret society. Devarim shechisa atik yomen, what Hashem kept hidden. Right? Again, this acknowledges that there might be such a thing, but maybe it's not for everyone. Or how about a Maseches Chagiga? Also, Daf Yud Gimel refers to the secret society of Sisrei Torah. Ein Moser in Sisrei Torah, we don't transmit secrets of Torah, El Lemishi Yesh Bo Chamisha Dvar, except to someone who has the following five prerequisites, Sar Chamishim Bechulo, he's a captain of 50, etc. You look in the Gemara over there, the prerequisites. Right? But again, We're not interested right this moment, you know, what are those prerequisites? But clearly there is such a concept of transmitting secrets to someone who is roy lakach, someone who is fitting to receive it. Hare beferish sheyesh starim l'Torah. So it's explicit in the Gemara that there's something called sisrei Torah, secrets of Torah. V'hayu yaduim l'raboseinu zal b'kabbalah. And these things were known to our sages by way of Kabbalah. V'hein he maisa bereshis u'maisa merkava v'sefer yitzira k'moshe kasav sham Rashi. As Rashi on this Gemara explains, what are these secrets of Torah? The secrets of creation itself. Maisa merkava, the very mystical vision of the chariot, Yechezkel Perak Aleph. When do we read Maisa Merkava? Shavuos morning. I always joke, why do we read it Shavuos morning? Because everyone's asleep anyways. You know, like, no one's roy to like really like, you know, hear it and understand it. So everyone like goes to sleep and like we receive Maisa Merkava in a dreamlike state. You know? That's like the best we can do with them. Maisa Merkava is the deepest secrets. The vision, Yechezkel's vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chariot, whatever that is. Go read the Pesukim and you try to make sense of it. Sefer Yetzirah, what's Sefer Yetzirah? Sefer Yetzirah we assume is one of the most ancient, authentic works of Kabbalah that we have today. Some say, we assume usually, it was written by Avram Avinu himself. Some say maybe Rabbi Akiva wrote it. Whatever it is, it's a holy book. And Rashi makes reference to it. So Rashi seems to think that there's such a thing. The Gemara seems to think there's such a thing. And about this it says in the second parak of Chagiga, we don't expound the psukim, the details of arayos, to a group of three. We don't study maisa bereishis with two. We don't even give over maisa merkava. We don't even teach it to one person. It's such a secret. If a person is worthy and smart enough, he'll figure it out on his own, and the Gemara addresses, well, how is that going to work? And, well, maybe you're allowed to give hints, but you can't, it's things that you can't even the one who's teaching it to you can't even teach it openly, has to kind of hint it to you. Okay. Tosos there writes, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, Demaisa Bereishis Hu Shem Shel Membez Osios. This refers to the 42-letter name of God. However, what's the 42-letter name of God? You've encountered it recently. Anubakalach, we usually assume the Rashi Tevos. So Anubakalach is the 42-letter name of Hashem. I don't actually understand what this next line means. He says, the 42 osios hayotze mi bereishis umi pasuk shal acharav. That comes from the first two psukim of the Torah. I have no idea what that means. If anyone knows, please share. The first pasuk of the Torah has 28 letters in it. Kalach. The second pasuk of the Torah has 52 letters in it. I'm not sure which 42 letters from the first two psukim of the Torah also make up the 42-letter name of Hashem. Usually we assume it's Anubakalach. But again, you see that Rashi and Tosfos are talking about these things. Right? Rashi and Tosfos and Maseches Hagiga are talking about the 42-letter mystical name of Hashem, talking about Sefer Yetzirah, Maisa Bereishis, Maisa Merkava, secrets of the Torah, the Gemara is talking about it. V'haramban, next line, V'haramban, b'bi'ura ala Torah, the Ramban is opening passages on Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the Ramban says, Maisa Bereishis Sod Amuk. The Maisa Bereishis is a Sod Amuk. It's a very deep secret. Eino Muvan Min HaMakros. You can't just read the Pesukim and Bereishis the way the Ramban reads them. And we're going to see, unfortunately, we're going to have to, I hate to say it, we're going to have to pick on the Rambam a little bit. Rambam's Kodesh Kadashim. We're going to have to pick on the Rambam. We're going to have to say the Rambam, so much of what he picked up was from Greek philosophy. It's not Torah. It's Pashat, not Torah. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in the Emes LeYaakov that the opening prakam of the Rambam, Yesod Dei HaTorah, it's not even a mitzvah to learn. It's not Torah. It's not Torah. It's not a Torah Hashkafa. Again, the Vilna Gaon and the Bir Agra in Yerodeah says some really strong words against the Rambam. This is, he picked up certain ideas. That, and again, we're not faulting the Rambam, right? Maimonides was a rationalist who didn't have an attachment, he never was zocha to have a Rebbe who taught him this derech in Torah. But the Ramban certainly did. The Ramban was a big makubal. The Ramban on Chumash, al derech ha'emes, that means al pi Kabbalah. So the Ramban says about Maisa Bereishis, these are deep, deep secrets. You can't learn them just derech ha'pshat. You're not going to understand any of it. V'lo yivada al buryo, it cannot be understood properly. Elami pia Kabbalah ad Moshe Rabbeinu. Al v'shalami pia gvura. You have to learn it the way that Hashem taught it to Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Ramban. And those who know it, he says, chayavim lahastir oso. Again, those who know it have to make sure that it's properly guarded. Again, that's a separate question of our permission to tap into any of this. I'll go out on a limb here, and correct me if I'm wrong. I imagine none of us are bakiyim in shas and poskim, right? And yet, I'm sure many of us are dabbling in some of the deeper svar. So what right do we have? We keep seeing how it's supposed to be kept a secret. But at least these sources, the Rishonim, the Gedolei Rishonim are telling us, the Gemara is telling us, there is such a thing as secrets of Torah. To figure out what permission we have to dabble in it at all. Va'ritva huva dvarav, the Ritva whose words are quoted in a sefer called Ein Yisrael, the Ritva was quoted as saying, Dover gadol maisa merkava. Maisa merkava is a very big thing. It's the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chaf Ches, where it says, you know, it talks about something small, something big. It refers to Maisa Merkava, something big. The conversations of Abaye and Rava, the debates in the Gemara, that's something small, the Gemara says. Maisa Merkava is something big. So the Gemara says. Perish, what's Maisa Merkava? Ha Merkava ha'el yona ha'kedosha. Shalon estaklu ba neviyam e'olam. Unbelievably wondrous things beyond this world that the neviyam didn't fully grasp or fully see. V'sodei dua labalei emes, and its secret is known to those who are masters of the deeper truths of Torah. V'ayin shav v'perash harashba. So we have a Ritva, we have a Rashba, we have a Tosfos, we have a Rashi. They all seem to at least be acknowledging that there's such a thing. So in terms of your opening question, who says there's pnimiyas of Torah? Who says there are secrets of the Torah? The Gemara says it in several places. The Rishonim discuss it. They at least tell us it's a big thing. It's a very big thing. And what emerges from all of this is, ki maisa bereishis u'maisa merkava, heim sisrei ha-Torah, v'chachmas ha-lukus. If you're going to try to study maisa bereishis and maisa merkava, like a scientist, you're not going to get it at all. That's not it. That's not it. If you're going to try to understand it through scientific inquiry, and by the way, science and Kabbalah can go very much hand in hand. And to say it even stronger, scientific breakthroughs help us to understand Kabbalah in a very, very deep way. In a very, very deep way. Modern science helps us to understand things that were written in Svarim a long time ago. We understand them much better if we understand many of the wonders of science today. Because science reveals to us that there's deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper layers to everything. Right. In that English edition of Shomer Amunim over there, can you hold up that... sorry, I don't even know your name yet.
Ilan.
Ilan? Shalom. Have we met before? We've been in Hess for like a second. Okay, so just hold it up to the camera. There's a beautiful edition by a very hailing Jew who would describe himself as a very simple Jew. If you want to get, you want to see what he looks like, looks like a very regular guy. You could watch, you know, there's videos of him on YouTube talking about the Sefer Shomer Amunim. Beautiful shir that he has on there. So he wrote a beautiful English translation of Shomer Amunim with an amazing introduction in the front of the Sefer and in the back of the Sefer on Kabbalah. And he gives an incredible mashal in there, in his English book. He says, and I saw him once when he gave a shir, he used this example. He held up a piece of paper and said, "What is this? What is this?" He'll say it's a piece of paper. Okay? What else is it? Well, it's made up of paper molecules. Okay, well, what else is it? Right, what are those molecules made up of? They're made up of atoms. And so go deeper. Right? What are the atoms made up of? Right? And you start going deeper and deeper and deeper. And he talks about all sorts of things that the scientific world is still, you know, discovering. String theory, whatever that is. Right? And essentially, modern science says if you go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, right, into things that obviously the naked eye can't see at all, and you're in, you know, and you're in quarks and in string theory and whatever the energy beyond that is, that they don't even know what it is, which we would call elukus, godliness, it's Hashem's presence that permeates all of reality, right? So anything that we study, right, in a scientific way, we'll realize there's deeper and there's deeper and there's deeper and there's deeper and there's deeper. And by the way, science itself, modern science, hits a roadblock and says, we don't even understand that ultimate energy that's pulsating beneath the surface. Science doesn't know what to call that yet. We know what to call it. Every little Jewish kid knows what to call it. It's called Hashem. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Uncle Maishi knew what to call it. It's very simple. Right? But it's incredibly deep. So if you're going to try to study just a superficial Greek philosophical understanding of reality, which, by the way, was very deep in its time, which is why the Rambam is screaming the praises of Aristo. The Rambam talks about Aristotle, like he's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was an absolute genius. But unfortunately, says the Ramban, says the Ritva, that's not that. They're already alluding to the fact that that's not it. That is not it. That's why the Ramban will take very strong. Some of us are learning Ramban al Torah this year. The Ramban will write very strong things against the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. Rabbi Nachman was against learning the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. He said it's not. It's bad for you. It causes a person to lose their tzel and alokim. Rabbi Nachman said. It's a bold statement. Extremely critical of the Rambam. Now the Rambam was doing a holy and good thing in his time. The Rambam was trying to create a Morel Lenavuch. He was trying to make a pathway. He was trying to offer rational explanations for someone who looked at the Torah and said, you got to explain it to me rationally, otherwise I can't believe in it. So the Rambam offered rational explanations. But Rabbi Nachman screams, went crazy. The Rambam writes, you know why we have ketores? You know why we have incense in the Beis HaMikdash? Very simple. Air freshener. You know, there's a lot of tat in Israel, as you know. Right? A lot of animal parts and karbanos. A lot of blood, organs, guts, kishkas. It can start to smell bad in the Beis HaMikdash. You know what? You know, we need ketores to freshen up the room. Rabbi Nachman goes crazy. Ketores is like the deepest thing that happens in all of Beis HaMikdash. The deepest secrets of Avodas HaKodesh. And you're going to reduce it to air freshener?
Do you think the Rambam knew that there was deep reasons in that, but he just didn't want to explain it because it wasn't going to be the greatest people?
That's a good question. Who was the Rambam writing for? Ibn Yisachar writes in one of his Sfarim, and again, take it or leave it. I have a whole shiur on the Rambam being a secret Kabbalist, maybe we'll, for another time. But take it or leave it, do some research on this topic. Take it or leave it, the Ibn Yisachar writes in one of his Sfarim that the Rambam, at the end of his life, he met a Makubal, who finally, at the very end of his life, taught him secrets of the Torah, and the Rambam had tremendous charata over many, many things that he wrote throughout the Mishnah Torah and the Mor Nevuchim. True story, apocryphal tale, I don't know. Not sure what to make of it. There are places, by the way, where the Rambam quotes things, the halacha, which are not sourced in the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, the Sifra, the Sifrei, the Tosefta, but it is found in the Zohar. So what do you make of that? Was the Rambam secretly learning the Zohar? Probably not. We went back in history? Probably not. But Hashem has a way of weaving things together. So let's just finish the paragraph for tonight and we'll stop here. So says Yehoyada. So what do we see from all of this? The bottom line is, there's deep things. There's something called Maisa Bereishis. There's something called Maisa Merkava. There's Sisrei Torah. There's Chochmas HaLukus, some Mekubelis from Moshe Rabbeinu, the God from Hashem. There's something called Sefer Yetzira, the book of creation. Hanimtza Etzleinu B'tfus. By the way, we have this book. You can go buy it at the YU Sfarim sale, in English, no less. Right, with Rav Aryeh Kaplan's commentary. Not saying you should, but these things are real in our world. V'kvar yadata kama rav guvrayu dahane rabosa de Talmud. And we know how great the sages of the Talmud were. Ki kol beis Yisrael nisham al peirushim. The Gemaras that allude to these ideas, the Rishonim who we just listed, Rashi, Tosos, Rabbeinu Tam, Ramban, Ritva, Rashva. This is big stuff. We can't just ignore all of this information. Turn the page. We'll just end. Finish Oz Zion. One more paragraph on top of the next page. Od Matzinu leChazal beMedrash Rava Parshas Chukas says Yehoyada. I'll bring you one more Maimer Chazal. Amr Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Amr Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. Hashem said to Moshe regarding the greatest secret of maybe Torah Bechsav, the Paraduma, the ultimate Chok. Zos Chukas HaTorah. Ultimate mysterious mitzvah, Parah Aduma. We don't understand it at all. Right? Until Rashi explains it, of course, on Chumash. But we don't understand it at all. So the Medrash says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Licha ani megale tam para, aval la'achirim. It's a chok. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to reveal to you the secret of the Parah Aduma But for everyone else, it has to remain a chok. Shlomo HaMelech said, I wish I understood. I amassed a lot of wisdom. V'hi rechoka mimeni, but it remained far from me. V'hi rechoka mimeni, but it remained far from me. What's the it that remained far from Shlomo HaMelech? Shlomo HaMelech was talking about the Parah Aduma. Right? Parah Aduma is gematria v'hi rechoka. It is far. Shlomo HaMelech says, I can't figure it out. Everything, I know everything, I can't figure this out. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who knew the secret of the Parah Aduma, and he wasn't allowed to teach it to anyone else. Knew. So what do you see from this Medrash? There are secrets. Bottom line is, you see there are secrets. The cave and the Parah Aduma levada l'acherem chuka. Since Hashem told Moshe, Parah Aduma has to remain a secret, just me and you, Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Muchach, it proves or it reveals to us, that other secrets Moshe was allowed to teach. Maybe not to everyone. But apparently this was the only secret that Moshe was sworn to utter secrecy. Other secrets that are implied could be taught. All of these secrets are what we call Kabbalah. This is what we call secrets of Torah. The deeper meanings behind the mitzvos, v'sodos, ma'isa breishis, ma'isa merkava, asher ba li'adenu b'kabbalah me'rabbeinu, which we have a tradition from our rabbis, ad mipichach me'yisrael ha'kadmonim ba'liyatam, all the way down until our times. Okay, we're going to stop here. Those who want to catch a 9 o'clock Marav can try to do that. I myself am going to try to catch that. Meretz Hashem, we'll continue. Those who are interested. Oh, you want to daven Marav here? You can do that also. People want to daven Marav? Okay. Ten or inch? Okay, we'll daven right here. Okay. You can even daven the Nusach Sfar if we're...